And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome in to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5, the game. We are streaming not only on the Game Nashville app, but you can watch us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all of those things. Good to be here with you for another Predator season. Chase McCabe here with you tonight, and we have a very, very special show as we're going to talk to Predators general manager David Poile in the first half of our show, and then Predators head coach John Hines in the second half. And I do believe David Poile is on with us. I don't see him yet, but I think I heard him in there. David, are you there?
I am here.
There we go. Good to have you on with us once again. And listen, let's start with the big news of the day, because I think you just planned this. You knew you were doing this show tonight. You knew it was me. You wanted to be cool. So you're like, hey, let's get the Ekholm deal done. And you did. 4 years, Mattias Ekholm returns to Smashville. And I know that is one that you're happy to have done because he's such a key piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I could line it up for your show tonight, all the better. So we're both very happy about that. It just feels like a really good signing. It feels like a really good fit for the Predators. I mean, Ekki's just a great pro, very low maintenance guy, is great on the ice, great away from the ice. He's got a great family. They participate in the community. Today at the press conference, his wife was there and their two young kids, and they called Nashville their second home. And, you know, it's really great when, you know, players want to play here. And, you know, that's obviously been a plus for the Predators for a long time, the attractiveness of playing in Nashville. And, you know, we're going to need him because, you know, he's certainly a really, really good player. And we've got some young defensemen that need some leadership, need some mentoring, if you will. And, you know, he, along with Roman Josi, our captain, are two leaders back there. They're going to have to be mentors to these younger players. So it's really a good day for the Predators today.
Well, it was definitely cool to see his family there. But I think one of my favorite parts of this is, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You've been the only general manager that this team has ever known. And I know that it's a business and you want to make your team as competitive as possible. But when you see a guy like Mattias that has been, this is the only team he's ever played for, only organization he's ever played for, when you're able to get something like that done, I could tell you enjoyed today a little bit. And I think that's really cool.
Well, it was good. Like every negotiation has its twists and turns. And this one was not easy. We talked for a long, long time, but you know, Ekki got involved near the end, and we had some really good conversations. And I really enjoyed that because, you know, once again, he didn't have to prove that any passion to me, but you know, he really, really clearly stood out that it was meant so much to he and his family to stay here in Nashville. And, you know, thus we were able to get it done. And, you know, we've been here for a few years now, and there's more players that are starting to retire here or certainly have their second home here. And I don't know, you know, if a European like Ekki and his wife got all the roots in Sweden, but it sure like guys that want to be here and maybe visit Nashville often when they retire. I'd certainly like to establish a bigger alumni. So I think when you sign players like this and to the contracts that we did and the age that Ekki's at, it gives us a good chance of something like that happening.
Every GM, when they go into an offseason, they have a checklist that of things that they need to accomplish. And you have talked about that with us several times when you come on the air, whether it's our show or other shows on our station. But when you got to the start of the regular season, you knew that Mattias Ekholm had a contract that was expiring. Philip Forsberg has a contract that's expiring. Now that the Ekholm deal is done, not that you wouldn't pick up negotiations with Philip's team, you know, whenever you could kind of put that over here and do that whenever that needs to happen. But does this now allow you to focus on starting the season, evaluating the roster that you put together and potentially looking around the league to make this roster even better?
Yeah, it does. I think we're set for now. I'd like to give ourselves a little bit of time. Our training camp was very competitive. You know, we you know, ended last season fairly well, meaning we played really well in the second half. We didn't win a playoff round against a very tough team with Carolina, but I thought all in all, we had a lot of things going for us. I think John Hines had a lot of good meetings, especially with our leadership players over the summer. And preparation for training camp. I felt our camp was really, really good. And it just was a camp where everybody was on the same page. Everybody was working every day. And I don't think we could have asked for any more. So I think we're, you know, a team that nobody's really picking to do very well this year, but I would like to prove that wrong. I think we're a team that has a lot of potential and a team that actually could get better as the year goes along. And let's face it, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we proved that last year. So I just think it's a very you know, exciting time with the Predators, with this transition from some of our guys that got us to the Stanley Cup Finals to, you know, fan favorites. I know that's not the easiest thing to accept for fans, and believe me, I don't like it any more than they do, but I just felt it was time to make some changes, and I'm really happy with some of the young guys that we got, you know, coming into our lineup this year.
We're you're listening to Smashville Live. Chase McCabe and Predators general manager David Poile here with you tonight, and you bring that up of making changes and how difficult that is. What I think is interesting, and I'm curious of what it's like from your seat, you remember 20 years ago when not only were you or over 20 years ago when you not only were building a roster, but you were building a fan base. You know, if you traded X player for Y player, maybe people didn't notice like they do now because the fan base has grown so much. So what is it like for you of, you know, whether it's a good move, a bad move, people like it, people don't like it, but being able to hear that response from the fan base that has grown so much in the last 23 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't love, you know, criticism, if you will, if you make a trade or you trade somebody's favorite. But let's face it, by now, in the years I've been here and the time number of times we've turned over the club, I've traded everybody's favorite or maybe a couple of them have retired. So, no, I don't like it from a, you know, a personal standpoint, but I totally get it. And I respect it. And then now I'm going to change and say, I really do like it because the fans have fallen in love with a lot of things that we've done and a lot of our players. I mean, I can't expect on one hand to be promoting Victor Arvidsson and how much he's done for us and over all the years and the cheers in the crowd, Arvy. And then I'm the one that trades him away to expect everybody saying, oh, that's okay. I mean, that should never be okay because, you know, at some point in time, Arvy's going to come back here, you know, again, as an alumni type of thing. And he's more than welcome for everything that he's done for, you know, for our franchise, the goals he scored, just the way he played. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, just say it's a business, but it's a business. And I know that we have been in the middle of the pack the last, you know, couple of years. And I mean, I think we all know this in life. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You're very little time where you ever just stay in the same place for a long period of time. And it's in my judgment, and I feel pretty confident about it, that we're not getting better, and we had to make some changes. So, you know, could this be the step backwards to take a couple of steps forward? I hope so. But as I just said earlier, I really hope that we have a group that is going to get better as the season goes along. And, you know, by the looks of how we finished the season and some of these guys at training camp, I think some of that at least should come true this year. So as I said, again, for the second time, I like where we're going with our team.
You added, you know, by subtracting, made some trades this summer, but Cody Glass, Philip Myers, you signed David Rittich to be the new backup to UC Saros, in addition to some of the youngsters that were in the organization, Phil Tomasino being the biggest that has made the opening night roster. What did you see with those new additions? Because you mentioned the changes. I mean, if you really count it by player, it's not a ton with those new additions. But what did you see from them in this training camp?
Well, starting in the goaltending position, I mean, it was, you know, talk about hurt. I mean, I was a fan, first of all, when Pekka Rinne retires. Like, I thought he was coming to my office to say that he wanted to play another year. So, you know, I guess I was hoping against hope, but, you know, it's happened. And we got 15 years from Pekka Rinne, and he's always going to be one of the faces of this franchise for what he did for us. But we all saw, you know, that in the last couple of years, and especially last year, I mean, at UC Saros, just like it's supposed to happen. I mean, he came on and he was one of the best goalies in the league. And, you know, just keep walking into training camp this year, you know, armed with a new contract, knowing that he's the number one guy. I mean, Juice is ready to go. I mean, he's the number one goalie now. I mean, I don't think there's any player on our team that doesn't think that Juice can do the job. So, you know, that's fantastic. And, you know, it goes all through our lineup for what's, you know, happened in the last year almost. Is like, say on defense, Alex Carrier was a depth defenseman for the Predators, and we really liked him, but we didn't even give him a chance. And then with injuries and various stuff that happened last year, we call him up, and our first defense pair tomorrow night when we open up was against Seattle will be Roman Josi and Alex Carrier, and he deserves to be there. He's played really well. I mean, some people said, well, was that a fluke? But it's not a fluke. If you've seen him in training camp or in the games, he's ready to go. There's lots of other stories from, you know, look, our lineup last year in the first couple of games. Trennan never played to start the year. He was on our roster but didn't play, and he's getting better and better as his identity line with Tanner Jeannot and Holton Sissons and eventually Matthew Olivier, all players other than Sissons that weren't on our team at the start of last year. Eli Tolvanen is going to play in our second line with Granlund and Cunningham. And he didn't start the year with us last year. So, you know, there's been a lot of transition or changes in our club, maybe slower than some people thought. But to your point, all these players have been with the Predators, at least starting last year at some point. At the most in our lineup tomorrow night, we'll have four new players. Now, that's not a lot. One is David Rittich, who is the backup goalie, and Tomasino, I believe, is going to play. And Philip Myers that we got from Philadelphia is three. So it's not a lot of changes. I mean, I think the players are fairly comfortable with them, with each other after, you know, playing together last season. So, again, we're young. The stats say that we're the sixth youngest team in the league this year. I believe last year we were the fourth oldest team. So that's a big change, and it's good to be a little bit younger. But we've lost a lot of experience, so we're going to have to see how this all plays out this year. So there's lots of guys that we're counting on. But as I look through our roster, and I mean, this is a pretty bold statement that I'm going to make right now, but who couldn't have a career year? I mean, a lot of times you get up in front of your team at training camp, and you know, you got some aging veterans or certain guys that you just know hopefully they can play a little bit. But why can't almost all of our players have a career year? I mean, it may not happen, but why can't they? They're all at the right age. You know, Matthias Ekholm, he could have a career year at 31. Now that's how good he is. That's how good a shape he's in. And I think his career is, you know, he's young for his age, if you will. So again, I'm pretty bullish on things, but we got to let it play out. We've gone through training camp, and we know that's important, but the real thing starts tomorrow night.
He is Predators general manager David Poile here with us on Smashville Live. We're going to take a quick timeout and have more with David. Again, John Hines, the head coach, coming up at the bottom of the hour as you listen to Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dance for me, dance for me, dance for me, oh, oh. I never seen anybody do the things you do before. They say, move for me, move for me, move for me. Welcome back into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on Game Nashville app. You can watch us on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, all those things. Chase McCabe here with Predators general manager David Poile as the Predators get ready to start their season tomorrow night against the Seattle Kraken. The Kraken made their debut last night, David, against Vegas. We were just talking about that during the break of it. You know, they made it close. They made it a game, but that first one is out of the way. What do you remember when the Predators started of just, you know, getting that first one out of the way? And then it was kind of like, okay, this feels real now.
Well, we unfortunately lost our first game against the Florida Panthers. And, you know, you all sort of thoughts like, are we ever going to win a game?
Yeah.
So hopefully my confidence is a little bit higher than that, but you know, you want to do so so good. And I thought Seattle played really well last night. I thought they could have had the lead, and just didn't quite work out for them. And the winning goal was actually a little bit lucky because it went off somebody's skate and was a redirect or what have you. So, if they had any nerves, I mean, certainly those will be a lot less tomorrow night against us. So I know we'll have a very competitive game. You know how it is with the expansion. We saw Las Vegas, who they played, and how good they were even to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So expansion is a little bit different than it was for the Predators when we started in 98. We're much more generous, if you will, and I think rightly so. So the Kraken are going to be a real competitive team, I think, this year, and should be a good opener. Their uniforms are terrific too. I really like the colors of their uniform, so it's going to be exciting tomorrow night. So hopefully we'll come out on the right end of it. So we're ready, and they'll be ready also.
You made some other moves earlier this week, promoting Scott Nickel to an assistant general manager role, joining your son Brian and Jeff Kelty. He's obviously been around for a long time, played here, and then been in the organization, worked its way up in player development and the GM of the Milwaukee Admirals. But you look at some of these young guys that are going to be playing for you tomorrow. Scott had a major hand in that, in their development. So how much has he meant to not only you, but the organization, and what did it mean to be able to promote him to assistant GM?
Yeah, I really am happy to do that. I'm proud of the development that we have with our staff. I mean, all three assistant GMs that I have now have come up through the ranks. I mean, Jeff Kelty was, I don't know if everybody knows the backstory, he actually was a player, first round pick of Colorado. Didn't sign with him, and the Predators signed him, but he got a concussion in his second year. He looked like he was coming along as a really good player for us, and that was really unfortunate. So we ended up hiring him as a scout, and he's come up through the ranks, and certainly deserves that. He's in charge of all of our scouting. Brian, my son, was working for the Dallas Stars, and he ran their farm club for a couple of years, and then he came over here to Nashville, and he's working doing all of our contracts and the business side, and doing lots of the agreements and that. And then Scott, he's in charge of Milwaukee and in charge of our development people and players. So I got three great young guys up and coming, if you will, and they all do different things. And I pretty well don't do anything without consulting with all three of those guys. And we talk several times a day, and either in person if everybody's here or on conference calls. So real happy for Scott, and I think well deserved.
And you mentioned your son, Brian. I mean, one of the cool parts of my job is getting to know all of you on more of a personal level, and seeing Brian the last few years work alongside you. I know it's been special for him, but how about for you to be able to do that together?
Yeah, it is very special. As you know, my dad was also in hockey. He was a coach, and then he was a general manager in the National Hockey League. And of all things, he started two expansion franchises, the Philadelphia Flyers and then the Vancouver Canucks. So I guess somewhat following in his steps, that was not my first job as a manager. It was in Washington, but coming to Nashville really to do that. And I've loved every minute of it in terms of everything that we've got to do over the years in hockey and growing the hockey in Nashville. And and Brian was with me at so many games as a young guy in Washington, where he grew up, and then he went to Boston College to try to play hockey. And a kid growing up in Maryland wasn't quite good enough to play in a top school like Boston College, but he always had the passion. And he coming out of school, he was hired by the Dallas Stars to work for them. So it's good. It's a special time in my life to be doing this job and working with my son and Scott and Jeff. And hopefully I'm a good mentor to a lot of these guys. Again, that would be very meaningful to me if they thought I was.
As you get ready for tomorrow, we've talked a lot about putting this roster together. You've used the phrase competitive transition, which I like that. You said that on our show, and then today with Matthias Ekholm. But now that it's done and you get ready to hit the ice tomorrow, you start the season at home with four games, I believe. What is your true vision from top to bottom of what they can do? Does this remind you of maybe some of those teams of the early days that had a little more will and the balance of will and skill, so to speak?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I want to be, I think, you know, where we struggled a little bit in the last couple of years, and for sure in the first half of last year, was just what I would call our identity. And I really believe we got that back in the second half of last year. And I believe we've left off where we took off where we left off last year at training camp. And we have a certain way to play. So I think, you know, regardless of the outcome of any game, I believe that we will be one of the harder working teams in the league. And I think we'll be hard to play against, not only to be that tough out, but also physically. I think we're going to make the opposition's, it's not going to be a walk in the park to play against the Predators. So, you know, the best way I can say it, which I said a little bit earlier, is that I hope we're a team that improves as the year goes along. I want to be a better team at the end of this year than we are at the beginning of this year. And because we're one of the youngest teams in the league now, I think that's a distinct possibility, that a lot of players are going to get so much experience this year that they themselves individually and us as a team could actually, you know, get better as the year goes along. And that could be how it turns out. That's what I'd like to have happen.
Well, I can't wait to get it started tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. It's going to be fun to have full capacity again, have everybody there. As we inch closer and closer to normal. David, thanks so much for the time tonight. Try and get some sleep. I know that's hard to do, but we'll do it again soon and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chase. Really looking forward to it and appreciate your guys' support. And I'm looking forward to that full building tomorrow night. That's what the doctor ordered, and that'll make everybody happy.
Absolutely. His Predators general manager, David Poile, joining us here on Smashville Live. Stick around. The head coach, John Hines, is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming not only on the Game Nashville app, but on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube as well. You can watch us there all season long. Welcome back in, Chase McCabe. And now with the head coach, John Hines of the Nashville Predators, as they get ready to start their season tomorrow night. You just heard the promo against the Seattle Kraken. And John, it's good to have you here. Thanks for doing this. But also, it's crazy to believe you just completed your first full normal training camp as the head coach of the Nashville Predators. Overall, how do you think it went?
Well, thanks for having me on, Chase. I appreciate it. Always enjoy talking some hockey with you. I really like the camp. You know, I think I'd like to give, you know, a lot of credit to the players. You know, we had some good discussions with lots of guys, some of the older veteran players, some of the newer guys coming in, just about expectations, individual expectations of players, and how we wanted the camp to go. We know we wanted to make the best use of our time. We wanted to have a demanding camp. We didn't want, one of our mantras in camp was, let's not waste the day and let's try to get better every single day. And I think, to the players' credit, that, you know, we plan that out and you have that messages as coaches, but, you know, I really have a lot of respect for the way that the guys have gone about their business, led by your veteran players. And then I think lots of the young guys and all the players at our camp, it was a competitive camp. I think guys really worked. We were able to use the time, as opposed to maybe the first two camps I've been involved in, kind of the COVID camp, so to speak, with no exhibition games and shortened time, that, you know, you have times where you can really build your identity. You can get tested against other teams in exhibition games, playing different systems. And you can implement sometimes the tactics little by little, which still allows your fitness level and conditioning and competition and those things to really be able to come out while you're instilling your tactics. And I think we had a good mix of all those things, and we feel like we're ready to play. Now we got to test ourselves.
How do you feel since you got here a couple of years ago in the middle of the season and then going through the stoppage and everything, as you were just mentioning it, when you do a system change, when you do a coaching change, nothing changes overnight. It's going to take time. And obviously some players have changed, but how do you feel like the response from this team has been, as now they have fully embraced what you're trying to do?
Well, I think it really started the second half of last year, to be honest with you, you know, because it was like January and February when I first came in, then it was a long break, and then it was the bubble, and then another long break. And then last year with a lot of new players and new coaches and things like that. So at the end of the day, you know, I think it was, if you look at from that stretch, you know, that last 28 games we played, it's probably the longest we've all been together from the start of last season till that time. And it's just, you know, it's, as you said, I mean, it's a, you know, sports is a hard thing. And when you have change, it takes time, but there has to be repetitive things that go on. There's got to be, you know, opportunities where you can work through good things. You can work through tough things. And I feel like the second half of last year, as we spent more and more and more time together and figuring out what needed to change, but also having the opportunity and the time to change it and try different things. I thought that was really effective. And speaking with the players this summer, you know, I think that there's a real feel of, hey, you know, we got back to being proud of the way we work. We were a much more competitive team, how we need to work and what our culture wants to be. And it seems much more natural coming back to this training camp. And that was the start of training camp. But I also think 3 weeks later, it's really come back to just more natural, what the expectations are, how we want to play, how we want to practice, and a little bit of the cultural things that we've kind of instilled, and it seems more natural now.
You got a chance in this camp to see some prospects that you obviously have seen before, some that are going to be on your team now, Tomasino, I guess being one of the biggest as he's made the team, but also some that maybe you haven't spent a ton of time with since you've been here because of everything that you talked about. So maybe some of those guys that didn't make this roster that'll be in Milwaukee or elsewhere, what are some things that you learned about the youngsters and what's down the pipeline?
Well, it was that's a great point. I think one of it was that August when we had our development camp, it was really great to see, you know, some of the younger players or college players that aren't allowed to come to the main training camp because of the college rules. So you got a chance to see those players and spend time with them in August. And then what you've been able to do in this main training camp, you know, and we really divided it up. We tried to have lots of NHL players in with American League, some of the prospects and the American League contracted players, where we felt like the teams were even, the practices were even, but you had a real chance to get to know the players, see what they can do, you know. And I think that, you know, we're really excited as coaches about the depth. I mean, I think that, you know, there's players that are in Milwaukee that are showing that they're ready or just about ready to be able to make impact, as we've seen last year. And, you know, I think the depth that we have in the organization, and then not just the depth, but there's different kind of players. There's some speed and skill. There's some size and hardness. There's, you know, if you even look at the D, there's some guys that are great puck movers that need a little bit more time. So I think when you see how the organization's been put together, there's a lot of options, and I think the future looks bright with the quality of players that we have.
Yeah, and when you talk about development, obviously Carl Taylor has a lot to do with that as the head coach in Milwaukee. I really enjoyed getting to chat with him at training camp a few weeks ago. I kind of made the joke of it was good to get to talk to him because I think he's going to be an NHL head coach one of these days. But you also mentioned that you two very much on the same page, trying to do a lot of the same things. So when these guys do come up to the Predators, they know what to expect because they're doing the same things in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important. I mean, I had a tremendous experience when I was in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton in the American Hockey League with Pittsburgh. And I think when you look at Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins and the Pittsburgh Penguins, there's synergy between the NHL team and the American League team. And, you know, Carl and I see the game very similar. We play the same system, same identity and how we want our team to play with. So it's, you know, I think it's we feel as coaches, A, it's really important, but B, it just really benefits, I think, the organization and the players when the American League head coach and the NHL head coach are, you know, view the game the same way, play similar styles of play. Systematic things are basically, you know, identical. So now when you get send downs and call ups, the players can come in and just play. You know, if they go from the American League to the NHL, they're nervous. It's the opportunity, but they're not worried about, well, we do this in Milwaukee and we do this in Nashville. It's like, no, this is why you're here, because you've performed very well. This is how we play. Both teams play the same way. Now you just have to go in and perform. And what we found in that experience is it's great for the players to be able to come in and help make impacts at the NHL level. And if players get sent down to the American League level, you know, they're working on things at the American League level that are going to be required systematically or tactically at the NHL level.
Predators head coach John Hines here with us on Smashville Live. And, you know, one of the young guys that made an impact for your team last year, Alexander Carrier on defense, now finds himself paired with Roman Josi as you get ready to start against Seattle. And he was very impressive last year. We've seen him come through development, you know, the last few years. He had a cup of coffee here, but then stands out. But when you do that, now the rest of the league knows who you are and they know what you can do. So what have been some of your expectations for him to take that next step now that he has this great opportunity going into this season?
Well, one of the things we talked with Alex about what makes him, you know, a really good player is he's got a great hockey mind. His hockey IQ, his ability to make the right decisions at the right times is very good. And that allows him to be the player that he is. His skating is also a factor. That he's, you know, he can join the rush, he can close gaps defensively. So the things that we talked to him about coming into the offseason were, okay, as a player, you have a great hockey mind, your skating is a factor, and he's extremely competitive. So those three components are what you want in the player. Now you also look and say, okay, at his size, what are the things that he needs to do to be an impact player night in and night out over 82 games? And a lot of that was, we'd like to see him continue to work on getting a step quicker and a little bit bigger and stronger in his game and in his body. And he's been able to do that. And that's what he could control in the off season. That's what most of the guys can control. He really did a good job of adding his strength. We liked his test numbers when he's come back. And you know, we really talked to him about coming into this year of, you know, don't push for things. Just let your instincts and your hockey sense be able to just play the game the way you want to play at a high compete level. And we feel like he's done that in camp. I think Todd Richards has done a really good job, and Dan Lambert, who worked with the D, just kind of getting him to settle in. And one of the things we like about him playing with Roman is that he's got the hockey IQ, but now you have him and Roman together. Both guys can skate, both guys can move the puck. And it's almost really like a dual threat that Alex doesn't just always look for Roman all the time. He makes his decisions. And I think that's why they've been a pretty good pair.
Yeah, and you mentioned Coach Todd Richards. How's he doing? Is he all ready to go?
He is. Yeah, he looks good, man. He was out there today. He ran the pre-practice meeting, three drills in practice, a D meeting after practice. So he's ready to go.
He is ready for tomorrow night. Yeah. Speaking of defense, we started the show talking with David. Mattias Ekholm re-signs a 4-year deal to remain with this organization. And you and I were talking just before we came on the air of just what kind of guy he is. I mean, he's such a good guy and a good leader in that locker room. You know what he can do on the ice. But to know that he's going to be around for a while as the head coach, that has to feel good, not only from having him as a solid D-man, but also a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've really gotten to know Ekki really well, you know, really over the past year. You know, when we've talked a lot about leadership and how he can grow as a leader and certain components of his game that need to be better. And, here's a guy who's had lots of success in the league, 10 years in Nashville, but he's coachable. He wants to get better. He's never satisfied. You know, he always wants to find different ways he can get better. I've seen him really grow as a husband, a dad, and a team leader. Like those, sometimes you look at these guys and they're a big 6'4" guy that's a heck of a hockey player, and you know, but he's also a person. But he's highly intelligent, great to communicate with, and I think there's still so much more upside for Ekki. I think he's just kind of, you know, even last year, that second half of the year when we had a lot of injuries, and you know, the impact he had on the young guys, impact he had on the team. I think it's great for him and his family, but I think for the Predators fans, and our team in particular, to have him locked and loaded here for a while is going to be beneficial. And there's still upside with him as a player and a leader.
No doubt. He is Predators head coach John Hines here with us on Smashville Live. We'll have much more coming here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app, on YouTube, on Twitter, and Twitch as well. We'll be here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And tonight, we've been joined by General Manager David Poile and now the head coach John Hines as they get ready for the season to get underway against the Seattle Kraken tomorrow night in Smashville. I wanted to ask you about a couple of more of the young guys that we saw in training camp that kind of turned some heads. Jeremy Davies, that played for you some last year, defenseman, and then Igor Afanasyev, a forward that was in camp and really kind of came down to the end, at least is how it appeared. But what did you see out of those two specifically that kind of give you some excitement as you move forward?
Yeah, Jeremy Davies had he did have a great camp. You know, at the end of last year, we had an exit meeting with him and we talked to him about, you know, his decision making. You know, he's a guy that has great offensive instincts. He can move the puck, he can distribute the puck, but there were times where sometimes he'll try to force plays that aren't there, and just understanding and trusting his instincts and his game that there's going to be times in the game where he's going to be able to make some great plays. But lots of times it's the simple pass, the easy pass, move it, you know, the right way. And then all of a sudden he's going to see a play that can be made that's wide open. That's when you want to be able to make it. So we felt coming back into this training camp, you know, we met with him before and reiterated that to him. I thought he did a really good job where there was opportunities for him to create offense or transition us to offense. And sometimes they were just simple plays that just got us up and out of the zone. But there are other times he catches your eye where he's got great instincts to be able to drive offensive play. So he really took a step in that part of managing the game versus forcing things. The other thing with Jeremy was just, you know, growing as an offensive defenseman growing up, that there are times in the game where you're called upon to defend and you have to be able to be highly competitive in and around your own net front or in the defensive zone coverage when you're along the walls. And he has some nastiness to his game. Like, he's a competitive kid, you know, borderline nasty at times, which we really like to see. And he showed that. So, you know, he was really, he really made a good run. We're very excited about him. You know, we view him right now as an NHL player playing in the American Hockey League. I think that's, you know, that was kind of our exit meeting, you know, with him. I think he understood those things and feels really good about his game and his camp. You know, so he's a guy that we're looking forward to working with here in the near future. Igor, you know, he had a great camp. I mean, you're looking at a young guy. He's, you know, 6'3", he can skate, highly, highly competitive, good hockey sense for the game, great scoring. You know, I think, you know, everyone that had watched the games, I've seen the goals that he scored. He's got a scoring touch, a scoring knack. But I just really like the substance to him he's a great kid. He's got a smile on his face. He loves the game. Really coachable, good around the room, but he's a big, strong, fast, highly competitive player that has a scoring touch, and he really made a good run. He made, you know, coming into camp, he's one of these guys that you're looking for surprises. You're looking for things that to be excited about. And he's a guy that's not too far off, and he made a real, real strong run here in camp. And, you know, a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more experience. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again.
Fun personality too.
Yeah. Yeah. Great kid. Yeah. He's hilarious.
You're going to have a packed crowd tomorrow. And I know that's something that people haven't been used to with COVID and everything and all the protocols. I mean, it was so weird last year to start the season with basically friends and family, which is what it was. But you experienced that when you first got here for a very little bit, and then COVID shut everything down, but you experienced it as a visiting coach. So how excited are you for an opening night, a true opening night in Smashville, against the newest team in the league?
Oh, I can't express how excited I am for it. And that's, you know, as an opposing coach coming in, just, I mean, Nashville is highlighted on everyone's schedule when they're going to go to Nashville. And it's for multiple reasons. One, the city's great. You know, two, it's always some rookie party or, you know, when you are allowed to do the moms and dads trips and those things, yeah. It's always a destination event. And when it gets to the hockey part, you know, it's going to be, it's just an unbelievable environment. And, you know, I just remember last year, probably my best time here was, you know, it wasn't a sold out building, but the way the team was playing right down the stretch and in the playoffs, I mean, the standing ovations during whole timeouts for the players. And then you see the players' response after those. I mean, it's just a, you know, fantastic place. And I think the connection between the team and the fans is something that's special and unique in the NHL.
As things get started tomorrow, I look at this as a very big year for Philip Forsberg. And I don't mean that because he's got 1 year left on the contract. It's just with the type of skill that he has, and I've heard him say this, I've heard you say this, that with each year there's another level. There's another another place that Phillip can go. And when I've watched him at camp and I've watched him in the preseason games, I see that chip and I see that edge that he can play with and bring to his game. So when you look at Phillip, what are some things that you expect out of him this season?
I'd say the first word is consistency. You know, like Chase, you said you've seen him in camp and there's a little bit of edge and chip and the drive that he's playing with. You know, like if you go back in training camp and you look, you know, when Phillip's, you know, he's hard on pucks. He's got a second and third effort. He's releasing a shot like he was the other night. He's skating, you know, and he's a highly competitive guy. That allows him to be, you know, if you look at his body and his frame and his natural skill, it's just the consistency that, you know, he needs to do it. And we need to help him get there to be able to utilize that, the size, the speed, the skill, the vision, the shot, to be very consistent. And I think that's something that he realizes. We've talked a lot about that. You know, I've been very encouraged with him through training camp. Like I've seen it now repeated day after day after day after day. And that's something that, you know, I think as a player with him, that's that talented, that I think he's realizing even himself that this is the level I need to play at and practice at to be that next level player that he and we want him to be. I'm really optimistic. I think he's maturing. You know, he's maturing off the ice. He's engaged. He's getting married. You know, he's getting into the mid to late 20s. He's had lots of experiences. I see a guy that's primed and ready and wants to take the next step. Now it's in the action and the doing.
And then another guy that's going to be taking the next steps. You know, we talked a little bit about this with David. We've talked about it with you. There's no Pekkarinen, which is still weird. I don't think anybody's used to that, but UC Saros has proven that he can be a number one goaltender in this league. And now this is, if you want to put it this way, truly his team between the pipes to be able to do this. So he's looked locked in during training camp, but what are some things you've seen out of Juice?
I've just seen a maturity level and a confidence level that's taken the step of, like, exactly what you said, a guy that said, hey, this is my team. This is my organization. I've put in the work. I've put in the time. I deserve, you know, I've earned the opportunity and I'm ready for it. You know, I also look at just, you know, things in the summer. He's, you know, he made some changes to the way he went about his business in the summer. I think knowing coming in that he's going to be the starter, he's got to be ready game one. You know, he moved from his hometown to Helsinki, skated with more NHL players earlier this summer for longer, came back over here, unbelievable shape, but focus level he has in practice and games right now is at an elite level. And, you know, I think we've seen in the exhibition games he's been in, like, he's on point. And, you know, that's part of who Juice is. But I'd probably say that confidence and the aura about him of that he's the guy, it's at the level that you want it to be at.
As a head coach, when you hear that phrase, like, hey, this is my team now, you know, obviously it's a team game and there's no I in team, but do you want it? You want that guy to have that thought of, hey, you want UC or Roman or Phillip or whoever to come in and, like, own his job, own the role. I mean, aren't you looking for that as the head coach?
Absolutely. You know, you want that. I mean, you want that in net and you want that you know, from the leaders and guys that are here and play, you know, are expected to play big minutes and are expected to play large roles in multiple situations, that it's their team, it's their group. You want that investment, because I think there's a, you know, that commitment level and that investment level and not only their performance, I think, but the, you know, the team, you know, that's really important to have. And guys, and I think even when you look back at Juice, I think he was finding his way, you know, in before the bubble, into the bubble. And now it's, as you said, that it's my net and I'm going to do everything I possibly can. And he does, to make sure that he's going to be, you know, the guy that is going to be there for us every night. And when he needs a break, we're going to need David Rittich to pop right in, and he's going to have to pick up where Juice left off.
We're going to give, we know it's going to be rocking tomorrow night, John. We're going to give somebody a chance to be in the building tomorrow night to watch the Preds take on the Seattle Kraken. All you have to do is text 615-737-1025 and answer this question. Matthias Ekholm was the fourth round pick in 2009. Who was the Predators' first round pick? If you can answer that question, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to be in the building tomorrow night to watch the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken. Real quick, as we head out, John, now that you've the COVID protocols are a little bit different, what's one of the favorite your favorite things that you've done in Nashville?
Oh boy, you know what? Really explore, be able to really kind of explore downtown. You know, it's ever since I've been here, it's kind of been a little bit locked up, and yeah. You know, just enjoy meeting people, seeing people in the Nashville area. You know, my family, I have three daughters, and my wife, you know, we kind of moved in the pandemic, and now truly, honestly, to see them, they're in high school, they're playing high school sports, meeting other people that are around, you know, the areas that we live. It's been great. And just to see them, you know, be able to experience what it's like to be able to really live in Nashville as a family. It's been fun.
Well, John, appreciate the time so much tonight. It's been good to chat with you. Best of luck, not only tomorrow, but the entire season, 82 games, and it all gets going tomorrow night. Can't wait.
All right. Thanks, Chase. I appreciate it.
There you go. John Hines, the head coach of the Nashville Predators. Appreciate him. Appreciate David Poile and all of you for listening as well. Smashville Live. We return next week at 6 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But stick around. Penalty Box Radio. That's next.